Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Final hour of the show. People are working hard here at Target Field. They're getting this bad boy ready, prepared for tomorrow's day game against the New York Mets.
That's right. First pitch is just in 12 hours.
I know, right? At 12:10. I mean, it's... The turnaround time with stadiums, man, is something else. It really is. I don't know if you've ever seen, have you ever seen situations where like a stadium will have like multiple events in the span of like 24 hours and you see the changeover from like a concert to a game? I think that those venues, they do an amazing job, and all the hard work that goes into it behind the scenes, prop to all those people. So anybody here at Target Field that's listening to the show, because they do air the show in the different concourses and stuff like that. Props to you guys, because you guys get it done. I mean, people I'm watching right now, people are making sure that the stadium is clean and ready to go by tomorrow's ball game. But that's it takes a lot of work, DJ, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I went to a concert at Target Field last summer, and it's amazing to see how much that building changes in just a matter of hours to accommodate some of these bigger shows that come to town. And then... you can't believe that baseball is going to be played there, you know, whether it's 12 or 24 or 36 hours later. And the fact that they can turn that building into such a drastically different venue and then back again so quick is pretty awesome.
I have to see of the stadiums I have that have hosted like concerts or we've utilized as concert venues. I have never been to a concert at Target Field. Okay. And I know that that's like the sample size for that, though, is pretty limited. It's not like there's been a gazillion concerts at Target Field.
Yeah, there's just a few each summer.
Yeah,
it seems like.
Exactly. So I haven't done that. I've been to many concerts at Target Center because it's been around for a while. I have never been to a concert at the X. Imagine that.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been to a concert at the XO Energy Center.
Now, for a long time, that was kind of the preferred venue because Target Center hadn't been upgraded yet.
I think it still is, though.
I think it is, but I think Target Center has done some renovations and made their sound equipment a little updated so that, sure, maybe the X is still preferable, but Target Center is right there as well.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, Target Center, the remodel is pretty nice. It's pretty badass. And then the other one that I have been to a concert there was TCF. I've been to TCF for a concert. I have not been to... but I've only been into U.S. Bank Stadium just a handful of times, and it's the newest of the stadiums.
Now, TCF is the venue that I have not been to a concert at.
Okay.
That's kind of the one that I'm missing, and I'd love to catch at some point. But so again, there's a limited schedule there because of it's outdoor, yeah.
So what was the last stadium concert that you've been to in the Twin Cities?
I went to Zach Brown Band last summer.
Okay. And was that at Target Field?
That was at Target Field, yes.
Okay, yep, that makes sense.
How about you?
It was TCF Bank Stadium.
Okay.
I want to say, was it 3 years ago? And it was Beyonce.
So you came back into town for that?
I came back into town. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
And it was actually the weekend right before Memorial Day weekend.
Sure.
And it was Beyonce.
Wow.
So it was Beyonce and the whole, what was the name of the Lemonade Tour or whatever. So that was pretty nice, man. That was awesome.
Beyonce making news just this week as she's dropping her new single from the live action Lion King.
Ooh, yeah.
Check that out.
Are you a Beyonce fan?
Not particularly. Okay. I know you are, though.
I think you're one of the few that's not rocking with Beyonce, man. Come on now, Queen Bee. I'm part of the Beehive, brother. I'm part of the Beehive. All right, I'm also a Viking fan, and I think the majority of people that listen to News Talk 830 WCC are Vikings fans. I know there's a few of you Packer fans out there. Yeah, whatever. I know, because you guys are sprinkled in. I wonder what percentage of Minnesotans are actually Packer fans. Like, absolutely are all about the green gold. I would venture to say that the percentage is maybe 15 to 20%
of Minnesotans that are Packer fans.
Yes, now, because we have people that originated in Wisconsin and ended up landing here. That's the only reason why it's so close.
I would agree with that estimation if we're talking about Minnesota sports fans. I think there's a population that just doesn't care about sports, which is fine. And if you include all of them, I don't know if it'd be 15%. But if you take sports fans, I'm with you.
But this is the thing, though. It's one thing to say sports fans, but also say, like, the Packer-Viking thing is bigger than just sports.
Yeah, that's
true. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you might not care about anything going on the entire year, but when it's Viking Packer week, you care.
Yeah.
You care.
You described my mother and how she follows the Vikings.
See?
If it's the Packers or the playoffs, she's interested. Otherwise, she's not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, earlier today on the station, the Corey Heppel Show, he broadcast live from Kyle Rudolph's football camp. So Kyle Rudolph's football camp, that's taking place right now. And Corey was out there and, had a chance to sit and talk to Kyle Rudolph. And Kyle Rudolph has been a storyline here in the offseason. And the storyline early was, is he going to be retained by the Minnesota Vikings? Okay, because of the cap number and the salary that he was signed on to make going into his final year. Could they restructure? Could they figure some things out going into free agency? And then there was never any real traction there. Then we had the draft. And then you've got, the Vikings selecting a really good tight end out of Alabama. And then people started speculating and saying, okay, all right, so what's going to happen now? Is Kyle Rudolph going to get cut? What's going to happen that way? Well, he doesn't get cut. They not restructure, but they do a contract extension. And essentially, I foresee Kyle Rudolph being here at least, not just this year, but also next year. And so that window of having a really good offense with Kyle Rudolph being here is awesome. And Kyle Rudolph is a really great guy. He does so many awesome things in the community, and I appreciate and respect him for all the things that he does. And this is just another piece of that, Kyle Rudolph's football camp. But Corey chatted with him, and this was Kyle Rudolph on talking about staying with the Minnesota Vikings.
You know, it wasn't terrible because – you know, my main goal was to stay here, and the Vikings' main goal was to keep me here. So I was able to rest easy at night and just go to work every day and prepare myself for this season, mainly because I don't read most of the stuff that's out there. And, there was never any chance I was going to play anywhere but here in Minnesota.
Oh, whoa. Hold on. I gotta call some things out. I like Kyle Rudolph a lot. But you know what I say, DJ. You've heard me say this many times. I don't buy it when these athletes and these coaches say that they don't read or they don't hear. That's just I can't get with that. They hear everything. Their agents talk. No, dead serious. They got Twitter.
Yeah.
They got Instagrams. When a player or a coach says they don't listen to sports talk radio, not buying it. When they say they don't watch television and see the quotes, not buying it. When they say that they don't read the newspaper, come on, man. Social media is out there, and these guys see things, and they talk to their agents, and the agents work for them, and they're maneuvering and trying. So I'm not that part. Love you, Kyle. I'm not buying it. You heard the whispers. You were asked questions about it leading up, but at the end of the day, he's staying here for another few years at the very least. So we're happy about that. But the not paying attention, not buying that. All right, this was Kyle talking to Corey about the Vikings offense.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head, and I think that's exactly what both Kevin Stefanski and Gary Kubiak will do for our offense this year and maximizing our talent. I think we have one of the most talented groups in the NFL. You have two big-time receivers, a running back that, you know, when healthy is one of the best in the game. And, you know, when you have four or five guys that you have to worry about as a defense, it makes you really tough to defend. And, you know, we'll put Kirk in some good situations this year and just make sure that he has more opportunities. You know, we were really bad on third down last year, and that handcuffs you as an offense because you don't get as many opportunities. So, you know, we're getting back to situational football and doing things that we did well in 2017.
I agree with Kyle 100% on that. I thought that on third down this past season, I know that there were some games and there were some situations where Kirk wasn't at his best, but there were a lot of times where the offensive line just did not do their job and give Kirk the amount of time he needed on third down. And when you've got playmakers like Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook, who he mentioned, that there's too many weapons there. And I do agree with them that I think that this offense is one of the better offenses out there. And I think they're going to take some strides and some steps forward to be really good this season. I'm banking on this offense being better all the way around this season than they were last season. The final thing we want to get to from Kyle Rudolph was, and I mentioned it, they're going to have to be better, is that offensive line of which he's a part of. He's a good pass-catching tight end, but he's also a good blocker. This is Kyle Rudolph on the offensive line.
You know, when you enter camp and you feel like you've got five or six guys that can go out there and play good football for you, it's one thing to have it in August, but, you know, what happens come September, November, halfway through the season, and then, you know, late in the year, you know, you get banged up, you shuffle some guys around. It's hard when there's no cohesion up front. So, you know, I like the additions we made up front. You know, as a team, I think we'll try to be a little bit more balanced and get back to that identity that we established in 2017. Yeah.
And hopefully the rookie first-round pick, Garrett Bradbury, is going to be a big part to that. He's going to be a big piece to them improving on that offensive line at that center position. So I'm looking forward to what they have in store coming up. Hey, we're talking about training camp, man, next week. Seriously, we're right there.
How about that?
We're right there. We're talking about training camp, baby.
It's kind of the turning point where it's like the slowest week in sports last week with the All-Star break. And now all of a sudden the Twins are back in action.
Yep.
We're looking forward to Vikings football. Things are moving and shaking.
We're getting ready to come out of the sports abyss. The right. Sports abyss is always when you approach, when you have Wimbledon going on, and this is no disrespect to tennis, because I like tennis and I follow tennis, but the mainstream, they're not into tennis like that. And so you have a little bit of downtime with the All-Star break, and then you have people that will dive into Wimbledon, they'll watch a little bit of tennis, but then when you come out of the All-Star break, and then Wimbledon's done, and then that you have at least a week to 10 days still until you get to training camp. And then once you get to training camp, baby, it's on. And it's two things that happens in sports, DJ, when it comes to if you're a city that has a baseball team and a professional football team. You know what happens? If your baseball team's still in it, then you're talking baseball and you're also talking about training camp. But if your baseball team is out of it, you know what you're doing? You're all in on training camp, baby. You are all in on training camp.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. You know, this town is a Vikings town, but the Twins are playing so well that it'll be interesting to see how much of the normal Vikings attention gets diverted to baseball, especially if this team continues to have a lot of success.
Yep. All right, what is the latest in entertainment news? We get to Word on the Street, and we do that next year on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night. It's time for Word on the Street, your latest in entertainment news. Next segment, we'll take some phone calls at 651-989-9226. We'll take some phone calls before we get out of here at 1 o'clock. But right now, it's all about Word on the Street.
Let's start with the popular show Game of Thrones, which you and I have both talked about. We have not gotten into, but
not seen it.
Didn't we make a pact that we were both going to get into Game of Thrones or give it a shot this summer?
Yeah, that means I got to get on it right now.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm late to the party.
Game of Thrones is making news as they set a record with the number of Emmy nominations. The HBO hit drama walked away with double-digit Emmy nominations on Tuesday, setting a new record for the most nominations earned in a single year by a drama series. Their nominations included Best Drama and a slew of individual cast members getting nominated. To date, the fantasy series has won 47 Emmys and been nominated for 161. Of course, Game of Thrones aired its final or its series finale just this past May.
Yeah, so me and you have both stated this, okay, a couple of months ago, that we weren't the got people. Like, we weren't the the individuals that knew anything about Game of Thrones. I have not watched that show. I'm definitely going to take the time to get into it. Okay, I have promised that. I want to see it, right? Because everybody talks about how amazing it is. You talked about it. You said you're going to take some time and dedicate to try to dive into it and catch up. And typically, I'm that guy that when I dive in and it's really good, I binge watch, man. I will get caught up pretty darn quickly. Okay, now this had a bunch of seasons, so it'll take me a little bit of time, but. When you're binge watching something that's really good, you'll get caught up pretty darn fast. But this is the thing. I hope that it ends up being as good as what people rave about. No, I'm dead serious. I don't want to be let down.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because there's two shows in particular that I got into and it just, I was disappointed, quite frankly. And I stopped watching Nip Tuck. Mm-hmm. People were raving about Nip Tuck, and I watched, like, you know, the first year. I was like, okay, this is fine, whatever. Watch some. In the after the second year, I was just like, I can't do it. Then the other one was, and this is going to sound, people going to be like, man, it's blasphemy. Sopranos.
Yeah, that's another huge fan favorite.
Sopranos was overrated to me, man. I'm sorry. It was good, but it wasn't as... It wasn't all that to me. Like, The Wire was all that. Entourage, all that. Another show that I got into, and I actually didn't stay with it all the way to the end because it just got a little bit weird, was not necessarily weird, but it wasn't any good, like, the final, like, year or so, was, you ever seen Weeds?
I have seen, I got through, I think, the first series, at least. Oh, the first season, at least.
The first couple of years, it was awesome.
It was great, yeah.
It was awesome. And then when they moved out of the house and all that, it just, a little bit disappointing, man.
Yeah, it wasn't the same after
that. It wasn't the same.
I didn't stick with it, but it seems like a good decision.
Yep.
All right, next up on Word on the Street, the St. Louis Blues center, Robbie Fabry. Let's just say he's having some fun with the Stanley Cup. The NHL champion this past Monday, yesterday, was at a family cookout, and they were straight up serving noodles.
Yes.
Out of the trophy. This was in his hometown of, I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And they were also served up with meatballs, spaghetti, salad, and rolls, but they were using Stanley's cup.
Yes.
To serve some spaghetti.
Now, this was a little bit much, don't you think? I saw the picture, and I saw the spaghetti and the noodles and all this, and I'm saying to myself, I'm like, and we've seen the cup. You can use the cup any way that you want,
right?
You can take it wherever and have so much fun with it. Ovi last year was this. Man, he was taking it to bars. He was having a good time. He probably slept with the cup himself about a couple of weeks. You know, he had the cup a little bit extra time as opposed to his teammates. But let me ask you this. So I saw this earlier, and I saw the spaghetti and the Stanley Cup and all that. It looked a little bit messy. If you had the cup for, let's say, a day, and you're going to serve food out of the cup, like you're going to have fun with the cup, and you're going to serve food or maybe a beverage or a drink out of the cup, what would you have served out of the cup? If the Minnesota Wild win it all, what are you serving out of the cup?
Well, that's an easy answer for me, and I'm going to ask you the same question next. Okay. But I'm a huge fan of nachos, and I would just make a giant pile of nachos and eat that right out of the Stanley Cup.
Nachos?
Yeah.
Dude, that's messy like the spaghetti.
What? That's the point. Have some fun. Live it up.
Come on, man.
What are you going to do? Drink like some sparkling water out of it or something?
No, I'm not drinking sparkling water. I wouldn't mind pouring some alcoholic beverages in the cup. But you know what food I'm serving out of the cup, sir?
What's that?
Juicy Lucy sliders.
Ooh, see, now
Juicy
that was
a Lucy sliders. Yep. Minnesota staple sliders, though.
All right, I changed my answer. I'm going Juicy Lucy's.
I told you, man.
That's the better answer.
I'm talking about the juicy, not just Juicy Lucy's. I'm talking about sliders. We're packing them in there, baby.
How about just one giant Juicy Lucy?
No. See, now you want to make it messy, man. Come on, man. Let's throw the party the right way.
All right. Finally, on Word on the Street, a judge on Tuesday ordered R. Kelly to be held in jail without bond after a prosecutor warned that the singer accused of having sex with minors and trying to cover up the crimes would pose an extreme danger to young girls if he was set free. Now, remember, Kelly was arrested while taking his dog on a walk in Chicago last week and faces an array of sexually related charges in Chicago and in New York.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a wrap for R. Kelly. There were some people that predicted, I saw earlier, some lawyers that said he's not ever getting out of jail. Like, it's a wrap for him. Like, he's you know, they're not doing the bond thing. He's got to continue to be held. He's going to go to court for all of this. Potentially, we have seen the last of him in public. And I know that we're supposed to, you know, we talk about due process and people getting, you know, their day in court and all that. But this has been a long time coming. And I shed no tears because I want justice to be served on R. Kelly. Make no bones about it. The quote that struck me was from the assistant U.S. attorney Angel Kroll. If he was attracted to middle school girls in 1999, then he's still attracted to middle school girls. That's a drop the mic. So, R. Kelly, you'll get your day in court, but my man, it's a wrap on you. And that's a wrap for Word on the Street. Coming up next, today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, back with you here on News Talk 830 WCCO, late night, broadcasting from Target Field. Twins back in action tomorrow, 12:10 first pitch, 11:30 pregame. I was just talking a little Viking football a little bit earlier, talking about Kyle Rudolph, who was on with Corey Hepola earlier today, broadcasting from Kyle Rudolph's football camp. Check out the podcast page to check out the entire show, but a guy that loves to talk football, he's going to join us right now. His name is Warren from St. Paul. What's up, Warren?
How long have you been doing? I haven't heard from you in a while. How's everything going with you?
Man, I went to Vegas, man, checked out Summer League, won some money out of the Caesar Sportsbook. I won some money out of the Wynn Sportsbook. Good. I went to UFC 239. I talked to John Jones, Francis Ngannou. So I've had a fun 10 days, my man.
Well, that's great. I just want to bring a little something up about the Twins, and I don't know if you've covered it, but I think the bullpen has been.
Wait! Did you say you don't know if I've covered the Twins?
Well, no. There's one thing. I think one.
You're talking about an aspect. I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
One is
I'm at Target Field, buddy.
Yeah, I believe the bullpen is doing a lot better than they think, and I think the reason for it is you can really tell a lot of those games that they've been. I mean, unbelievable amount of extra inning games. The bullpen's really held their own pretty well. And the guy that's really doing extremely well, and I didn't realize what his age was or anything. He's only 23, is Liddell. Eight appearances, hasn't given up a run. I think this guy, I don't know how it's going to be this year. He's pretty young. I can foresee this guy doing something pretty well because eight tough games, late innings, couple walks, if he can get his walks down. I have a feeling that the Twins are going to have to do it pretty much with the team they have. They do got a lot of young talent. They're in much better shape for the future than the Vikings, believe it or not, because of the young players they have. And what they've added at the right time has been amazing. And I'll give you an exact opposite of the Minnesota Vikings.
Zach looked good tonight. He's 24. He'll turn 25 here after the season, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, here's the trouble the Vikings have. Okay. Had a good quarter. If you look at what the Vikings did last year, realistically, should have won more games. But the problem with it is the way they set their team up. Problem with it is, if you have a quarterback with what he did last year, Vikings haven't had a guy do that in a long time. If you look at what he did last year, and I was re-looking into everything, should have really been considered better than he was, but here's what caused the problem with our quarterback. The offense scheme wasn't set up very well for being really productive over a long period of time. Offensive line was the biggest problem he had because, as you can see, as the season went on, he wasn't able to really do anything back there without getting hit. I was amazed at how many sacks that that they actually registered on him. Now that was on his fault. I believe he was to blame for a lot of the reasons why they lost last year, for the fact that he couldn't get out of danger. Mm-hmm. He couldn't see the rush coming. Here's another problem the Vikings have. You got two really good wide receivers without any help back there. And you have a rookie or a 3 or 4 year guy that you were counting on all this time. They should never have been on the team. Treadwell should have never been with the team last year. That's basically wasting a roster spot with somebody that should be out there. They have to come up with really four good wide receivers. They put themselves in danger by keeping Reef around when you're worried about money and could have dropped $12 million there. They didn't do everything they should have done to get a better offensive line, working in the last 2 to 3 years. They didn't see the future as far as the coaching staff and that. I think that's one of the reasons why they're shooting themselves.
But hold on. Let me ask this question, though.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm in agreement with you that I felt like the offensive line, they didn't do a good job last year. Look, Kirk Cousins could have played better, but he also would have played better if the offensive line had been better. But right. The identity of this team is what?
Well, the defense, but you can't win that way anymore.
No, but hold on. You just acknowledged that the defense is still the identity of this team, which it is. And last year, they took a step back. Okay, they weren't that defense wasn't dominant last year the way it was the year before.
Exactly.
And specifically, when you lose a team like Buffalo, and when that Rams game, Kirk Cousins was balling. He was balling, and they could not stop a nosebleed last year when it came to the Rams.
Right.
And I know the Rams represent it, and they went to the Super Bowl, and that's a good team, and they got offensive firepower. I totally get that. But that was also on the defense. And then the other piece to it, too, is you look at another game that was given away, the Packers game, because a kicker that's no longer here couldn't make a damn kick.
You're right. And that's the problem the Vikings have. Here you got it. You got defense that's got good players, but here's what's really lacking. Your linebacking core is doing pretty good with your basics, but you have to have supplemental players to back them up, especially when you get injured. Same with the receivers. You don't have...
No, the defense got great players.
What's that?
The defense has great players, not good players. They got some great players.
Yeah, but here's the big problem. If you look at what happened last year to the year before, the biggest difference was turnovers. They didn't turn anybody over.
They'll bounce back this year.
Right, and I believe it's going to make a difference when you got Harris back there for a full year. I think that he's underrated. And I still say your offense is a big problem because when you're turning when you don't have a McKinnon getting first downs, you don't have I don't care what they say about Cook. He hasn't proven anything to me yet. You don't have a dangerous third down weapon like McKinnon was so great at getting first downs. I think that was the biggest thing. And he said it when he was on the radio earlier. They weren't able to get third downs like they needed. I still think they're in serious trouble because I think I'll tell you what it comes down to. I think it's the direction of the offense. They have no proof that they can, on a consistent basis, when they're going against a really smart defensive team,
that they can run the football.
Continually be effective no matter what they do. And I would be a little concerned about the offensive line because if you try to stock everybody up, let's say not really small, but you don't do like everybody like O'Neal can do. Okay, you know, you got to have big guys to go with the small guys. You got to be able to switch players out when you're going against a team that can neutralize, like the Bears are fast, so they can neutralize the fast defense.
The Bears are tough.
What are you going to do if you got the guy from Elon was a really good move in the draft, but they're going to have to come up with some bigger offensive linemen.
But, Warren, this defense is going to be better this year. Mark my words, the defense is going to be better this year. It has to be better this year. The defense this year is going to bounce back, and they're going to play at a much higher level than they did last year. You got four stars on defense. I'm not talking about four good players. You got four stars on defense.
Everson Griffith's going to have a comeback year. But I would be concerned about having the defense be on the field too long. And I don't think that Elflein, I don't know if he's big enough to play guard on a consistent basis without getting wore down and losing late during the season. And he still has an injury that he still has to come back from that was pretty significant. So I think the offensive line is going to be a little bit of an issue, especially against power teams.
All right. I appreciate the phone call from Warren in St. Paul. When I think about the Vikings have four legitimate studs, and three of them, I think right now everybody agrees on. And the final one, I don't think that anybody out there will agree with me on this, but I think he's going to have a bounce back year. Do you have any idea, DJ, who the four players defense, strictly defense, that I'm probably talking about?
Well, no, I'm not sure.
Just all right. So clearly, Harrison Smith is he's arguably the best safety in the game.
Yeah, Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith, Danielle Hunter.
Yep,
is amazing. Eric Kendricks is amazing. And do you have any idea at all who that fourth person? I think and the hint would be he's going to have a bounce back year.
I don't know. I think there's a few options for that. I'm not sure.
Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes had a down year last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, everybody knows that Xavier Rhodes is a better player than that. He had a down year last year. He had some games where he got injured. His confidence was shaken, I think, a little bit. Remember, he had some bad games. And remember, he had a bunch of and he's always been prone to get some pass interference calls, right? That's what good cornerbacks do. They'll get a PI every now and then. But I think it got into his head a little bit. I think he's going to bounce back in a major way. Because remember before last year, remember the year before when they went to the NFC Championship game?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the top three or four cornerbacks in the league. He was terrorizing everybody. He put Odell Beckham Jr. in a diaper on Monday Night Football.
Well, yeah, and I think a year ago fans had very high hopes and it ended up being a downer season, like you said.
Yes. So I think that Rhodes is he's getting back to Rhodes' clothes this year. I think Xavier's going to be the man this year. I really do. I got a lot of faith in him. I think he's going to bounce back. But Harrison Smith, you know what you're going to get. Danielle Hunter, you know what you're going to get. And Kendricks he's underrated at that position, man, at the linebacker position. He is an absolute stud. All right, the final segment coming up next on Late Night. There's something that's set to open at the Mall of America. And yes, I think it's a genius idea. We'll get to that next year on Late Night. All right, final segment here of Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's show. We're going to have a full show because the Twins have a day game. So we'll be on from 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. And 9:30, we're going to have a special guest that will join us in studio. And, you know, over the weekend, you guys know that I was hanging out at the Armory. And I love boxing. And we've got some really talented boxers here in the state of Minnesota. And the two that get the most run is Caleb Truex, a friend of mine, as well as Jamal James, who won over the weekend. But we're going to have promoter Tony Gragielko in studio with us for about 30 minutes. There's an awesome event coming up, a nice golf tournament benefiting a great charity coming up on August the 3rd that we'll talk about. But also we'll kind of recap what took place at the Armory this past Saturday and just kind of talk about the sport of boxing here in Minnesota because we've had some good boxers come out of here. So we'll talk to Tony at 9:30 tomorrow night on Late Night. But I saw this story in regards to the Mall of America. I know that it's one of DJ's favorite places to go. He loves walking around the mall in his Lululemon pants, you know, spending his money and then heading up to the food court and getting him a little Chick-fil-A and all. Look, the MOA, I don't know how you are about shopping, but I like going to the MOA. I do because I'm the guy that – when it comes to clothes – I have to go and I have to try stuff on.
Okay.
I'm not the guy that's going to sit there. Some of you people are just so into like buying stuff off the internet and if I don't try it on, I'm probably not buying it right away. Like the only thing that I will buy and I haven't tried it on that mm-hmm. way is a t-shirt.
Okay.
But jeans and then like certain other like a suit and stuff. I'm not buying any of that stuff off the internet.
Henry.
Go ahead.
I like Mall of America about as much as you enjoy camping on the North Shore.
So you don't like it at all?
No, I'm not into the moment.
Oh,
America.
My goodness. All right, so
I like this story, though. This is a cool story you have.
This is a cool story, and that's the reason why I'm – because I'm a fan of the mall. I don't get out to the Mall of America that much. I say that on average – in any given year, I will go to the Mall of America maybe 5 times. Maybe. Okay? Maybe 5 times. I think that since I've moved back to Minneapolis, I have been to the Mall of America 3 times. Christmas, because you got to get a bunch of shopping in at that time. I was out there a couple of weeks ago to grab some stuff before I went to Vegas. So, and I think I was out there 1 other time. So 3 times since I've moved back. And I moved back in September. I think that this is an awesome idea, though. The Mall of America is one of the busiest places in our country, it seems. We have people that fly in here just to go and shop at the mall. And what they're doing is they're going to have this new clinic at the Mall of America. The MOA is set to open up a clinic. And this new clinic, according to Laura Reed, Fairview's chief operating officer and nursing executive, this new clinic brings high-quality health care much closer to people, whether they are shopping, traveling, or working at or near the Mall of America. So they're going to have this clinic there that's going to serve the purpose of being a clinic for people that are utilizing the Mall of America, that work at the Mall of America, and people that are nearby the Mall of America. And I think that that's awesome. But now, this is what people can't do. They can't look at this as some sort of primary care type clinic. This should be looked at as one of those, how's the best way to describe it? Kind of like a tune-up. Like if you don't feel right, or if you happen to be in the area, or you're shopping and you need to get checked out, then that's when you go there. You don't use it as a primary care type clinic. That's not what this is supposed to be. So I actually like that. You're going to have this at the Mall of America. And I know that they've had some services and some things at the Mall of America before, but I really do like the new concept that they're going to have with this specific situation. Now, in terms of the history of the Mall of America and medical facilities, they've attempted to do this before in a different way. The Mayo Clinic in 2009, they had announced plans for a storefront presence that would offer wellness programs, education, that's different, and refer patients to its medical facilities in Rochester. That ultimately led to a Mayo-branded healthy living store that closed in 2013 after an 18-month run. Now, some healthcare analysts have expressed concern about the growth of convenience care, whether in the form of online consultations or walk-in clinics or pharmacies in retailers. I totally get that, but like I said before, this to me, I like the concept because there's so many people that utilize that mall that I think that this drop-in clinic, I think it's a good idea. And it sounds like, DJ, you're kind of in line with that too.
Yeah, I think having other options than, you know, going into the, I don't know what to say, but the real doctor, I guess, for lack of a better term, whether it's there's some online versions that I've participated in that, or some of these, you know, quicker options for maybe just an easier medical situation to pop in, especially with kids. And I'm learning that now. You got to go to the doctor all the time when you got kids. Yep. And if there's an easy way to pop in for some of the easier stuff, that's a good solution.
And to me, that's for the easier stuff. You got it. I think this is an awesome idea. Fairview officials said the new clinic will be linked to their electronic medical record system. Mm-hmm. So its caregivers will have information on treatments that patients received at other locations in the system. The final part of the quote, Mall of America continually looks at what conveniences and services can be added to our roster of offerings. And she added, Jill Renslow, the mall's senior vice president, stated that the clinic will provide yet another convenience that creates a one-stop hub for the needs of millions of visitors, employees, and tenants. And I agree. So props to everybody out there at the Mall of America for making that happen. Props to David Joseph for making this show happen. We will talk to you guys tomorrow, full show, 9 to 1 a.m., late night on News Talk 830 WCCO.